You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today we've got the best program ever. No program could even hold a candle to this one. It is the most beautiful program. It's the most beautiful thing, right? It's the smartest program. All other programs pale in comparison. Today's program is The Art of Narcissism. What is narcissism? How do you diagnose it? Simplest terms, it's excessive self-love and admiration, just like today's show. Can be a personality trait, can be just part of your personality, or it can be a diagnosable disorder. They may be constantly posting selfies and shaming others who don't compliment them.
Wow, so everybody's
a narcissist today. Are we breeding? I was going to call this, are we breeding narcissists? That was another thing. Are we actually training? Are we epigenetically changing people through today's social media and today's way that people interact, that if you have a certain amount of narcissistic tendencies, mm-hmm. that social media
catch to
right,
this,
yes. with filters and all those things?
Yeah, so yeah. This is the interesting show today, and I want to combine social media, the society, with narcissism concept or behavior or disorder or personality.
Exactly, and you know, something is that I don't use filters on much of anything, right? Yeah. Because I'm just so beautiful to begin with.
Do you use filters sometimes for the air condition and the car?
Yes.
But that's the only one that we
the
use.
The HVAC filter.
Exactly.
Right? Our air has to be as pure
regular.
As we are.
Yeah, we change regular.
Is narcissism a disorder or is it just a personality trait?
That's a good question.
So let's talk about it as a personality disorder. It's characterized by an unhealthy, now we've gone beyond just a little bit of self-love, but it's unhealthy self-esteem and lack of an authentic self. It's kind of like wearing a mask. A person who manipulates their partner into excessive praise and attention, disregarding the partner's needs. Mm-hmm. Didn't I do a good job in this show today?
Yes.
So... yeah, the point is we're joking a little bit about it. However, it is a terrible thing when it is a disorder. I think a lot of us have a little bit of a narcissistic tendency, right? Mm-hmm. We want to like ourselves. They always tell us when we're kids, oh, you need to have self-esteem. You can be whoever you want to be. You know, the point is that the more self-esteem we have, there's a point in time where it becomes unhealthy.
Yeah.
And it might be...
all extreme is not good.
And it might be that we have low self-esteem. And in order to protect ourselves, we take on this trait to protect our self-esteem by acting like somebody else.
Yes, because typically it's like that. So the narcissism person have a low self-esteem and then cover with pretend they is...
infallible.
Yes.
Indestructible.
And then you have...
perfect.
Cognitive...
dissonance.
Yeah,
cognitive dissonance. What causes narcissism? It could be childhood trauma, lack of empathetic attunement by your caregivers. So somebody who's not empathetic, you have to make them love you. High achievements could be a way to seek love and validation. Example, a child who learns that they are only valued for their successes and, as an adult, needs constant validation at others' expense. So people can be born this way, mm-hmm. they can be taught to be this way, and then they can learn on their own to be this way.
Yeah, and also right? The one interesting characteristic that you mentioned is has to be validated for others. So most, the human being... do stuff and looking for
external validation.
So that is depend how much you put this characteristic yourself. You can determine
it is very strange too, because you could say I don't care about anybody else, so I don't care about external validation, or you want to just basically put external validation on yourself by saying I am so great, I'm so good, don't you agree? And when the people agree, they're your friends and you're really nice to them, and when they don't agree, you shun them and you gaslight them and you treat them badly. Yes, you agree?
Yes, I am your best friend.
Oh, that is nice. Continuing on. So where does the term narcissism come from?
Okay, it comes from Greek.
It comes from Greek. So there's a story of about a young man named Narcissus that was known for his extraordinary beauty and pride. He became so enchanted by his own reflection in a pool of water that he was unable to look away, eventually staying on social media all day. Oh, wait, I'm mixing two stories here. He couldn't look away from his reflection in the pool of water. Eventually, he wasted away as he stared, consumed by his self-love. His obsession led to his demise. And in his place, a flower, now known as the Narcissus, grew, symbolizing the dangers of vanity and obsession. So it's a Greek mythology, or is it?
Yeah, so I love Greek story because they make many deep philosophy for some behavior in the human being.
So let's go to Narcissus more. So here's the image of Narcissus. This is the actual drawing of him from the Greeks, passed on down by generations. We happen to have a copy of it. Some individuals obsessively monitor their image, viewing others as mere reflections of their own status, meaning the comments I get from people when I post is a reflection of me, so I want to post things that get me adulation, right? Get me, oh, you look so good, or you dance so well,
or so badly. Somebody did last night.
Yeah. But the point could be is that are you doing something for entertainment? Are you doing something for fun? You're doing something just to express yourself? Or do you expect that you're going to get applause and you expect you're going to...
Validation. External validation, yeah. And then when you need that is because maybe you have low self-esteem.
You could. And don't we all need a little bit of validation?
Yeah. I mean, that's everybody something. Has different levels. So I say it looks like characteristic of human.
Right.
And then depend how much you... If you posting every 5 minutes, everything, what do you do, and be angry and sad for see people no answer, can be a disorder.
So a lot of these traits are normal traits we all have a part of, but it's when they become unhealthy and obsessive and uncontrolled and we have no self-observation, right? No objective observation of ourself, where we don't see us having these traits. Or we think there's no problem, that it becomes potentially narcissism.
And then how these kind of people impact others, and you maybe become like, it's the other problem, it's nothing about me. So is this your out observation to see, because sometimes it's difficult. You believe or see the other people is toxic people because, why these people is so sad when I do something, but maybe have sensible to verify what is you doing for others.
How are you impacting others? And if you care, and that's one of the signs of a narcissist, they don't really don't care how they impact others.
Yeah.
It's not their concern. There's no empathy. There's no sympathy. There's there's no caring.
Yeah.
So let's go into the DSM, the APA, the American Psychological Association, their book of diagnostic and statistical manual, which provides when somebody is going to be diagnosed with a disorder, where that comes from. So the specific criteria for diagnosing narcissistic personality disorder, or NPD, comes from this book. It's updated every few years. So a diagnosis of NPD requires the presence of five or more traits, which must be persistent across various situations, which means persistent means they are not sometimes there and sometimes not. It means that they're there, they're persisting, and cause significant distress or impairment in social, occupational, or other important areas of functioning. So it's a persistent trait that causes significant distress or impairment. Okay. So that's different than just you have personality traits that are, you know, insignificant impairment, a little bit of stress. It's not persistent. Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. You recognize it.
Yeah.
That's a big difference, right? Being able to recognize what's going on in yourself.
And again, I guess between these kind of the recipe, depend how you are, like the person you can feeling, oh, I have this, because some people is a hypochondriac.
Yes.
And the, everything read in the internet believe they have.
Ah.
And then you put this, so it's a combination, so you need to be careful when this behavior, narcissism with other behavior, maybe make a, like a good cocktail.
I got it. So I'm going to talk about, here are the behaviors. So,
okay.
So there's a whole list of behaviors in DSM-5, which are the behaviors to look for, the traits to look for, where if there are five or more that are persistent, right, and they cause distress, then the person may be diagnosed with NPD, right?
Yeah.
Narcissistic personality disorder. So let's see what they are. And I apologize for this small text, but I'm going to bring it up. We're going to talk about it. I meant to enlarge this into three or more slides, but just to go through them quickly and then we'll come back to them, is number one trait is grandiosity or fantasy or behavior, or in fantasy or behavior. The person has an inflated sense of self-importance, exaggerating achievements or talents, and expecting to be recognized as superior without corresponding accomplishments. I think all college professors fall into this. And I bring that up, and you might think I'm joking, but there's a study that says 90% of college professors think they're in the top 50% of college professors. So almost all college professors think they're better than average.
Okay.
So is that kind of like that, where you think you're better and there's no supporting evidence that you really are, right? Without, now, college professors could be good. So let's take a look at the next one. Preoccupation with fantasies of unlimited success, power, brilliance, beauty, or ideal love. The individual constantly fantasizes about great success or power and believes they are destined for such achievements. It's kind of interesting. I think sometimes now with, you know, self-actualization and some of these motivational speakers, we're actually being taught, oh, you should have these fantasies. You should believe you can achieve anything. You just have to say, I am the next CEO.
Some people, they have some kind of show every Sunday on Facebook. No, I'm kidding.
It could be. But we have no preconception that we entertain anyone other than ourselves, right?
Yeah.
We do this for our own education, our own entertainment, and hopefully somebody out there learns a thing or two along
bit.
The way.
Yeah. We are facilitators.
That's it. Investigation. Facilitators.
What is the next?
The next one is belief in their own uniqueness and superiority. They believe that they are special and unique and can only be understood or should associate with other high-status people or institutions.
Oh, my.
So, have you ever been to a narcissist's party?
Can be so fancy.
You can't get in. It's terrible. It's so fancy. Everybody has their dress on, their suit on. They speak very eloquently and they enunciate every word perfectly. And it's like it reminds me of the werewolves getting together and I think it was an old song about the werewolves. I'm trying to remember. Werewolves of London, maybe? You just think of them as these posh werewolves getting together and in their high and haughty parties. But I don't think, I'm just mixing some different things in my head here. But in any case, so werewolves, they think they're kind of special, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Let's continue on. What else do we have here? The need for excessive admiration. They require constant, excessive attention and admiration from others. So this is a way, like, to recognize maybe someone in your life who's this way. Mm-hmm. Like, they're always seeking admiration, maybe at work, from others.
And the buenos the document they read say it's important to see action of the narcissism of person versus a speech, because the speech sometimes is you know, really go to one area to the other. So the action make a lie. Okay, this person, when the person is angry because you know, say, like, or you're posting,
right,
you know, recognize the food that you make and you know, say it's good. So that is more action versus speech.
So, and that was one of the things that we talked about narcissists too. They'll talk about all these things they're going to do or will do, but they are not doing them. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's a delusion almost.
Mm-hmm. No, the exaggeration. Exaggeration is some situation because they wanna be the center in the moment.
The long story. Mm-hmm. What else do we have here? We have sense of entitlement. The person has unreasonable expectations of especially favorable treatment or automatic compliance with their wishes, just because they say, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do this. Right? They expect everyone to rely upon them for what to do next.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's validation, but it's not it's not my expectation that you're going to agree with me. Exploitation of others. They tend to take advantage of others to achieve their own ends without concern for the impact on other people. So again, it's very self-focused, self-determined, and it's like a big ship going through a small channel and not caring about the wake of the boat, the water, and how it ripples out and how it impacts other people, other little boats. Yeah. They just think they're a big ship and they have the right of way, right? Mm-hmm. I don't care how it impacts others. What else do we have here? We have lack of empathy. Difficulty in recognizing or identifying with the feelings and needs of others. So they really just, you know, they either are disconnected from having a feeling with the other, or they don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. Next, we have envy of others or the belief that others are envious of them. They frequently feel envious of others or believe that others are envious of them. So again, we're talking about persistent and unhealthy feelings that impact these people.
Again, this point is just like the mirror, you know, effect. So is you seeing others who you are. So if you seeing others, the people is envious, maybe because you are envious. And then again, these people with low self-esteem believe, people admire me because I am the best. So,
well, and again, if you think that your view is the most important view, and then somebody else at work is your boss, and you then say they're not listening to me, and you start saying they think that their view is the only view, now you're saying that you're calling them out on something that's impacting you because you feel the same way.
And this is really difficult to handle. Yeah, I know.
Because it can be true.
Yeah, but also can be like the, because it's the level of authority, the level of the experience. So it's so many components, the context, the people acting and.
I've been in this company for a month. Why aren't you all listening to me? I know everything now, right?
Exactly.
Right. And then finally, we talk about arrogant, haughty behaviors or attitudes. They often behave in a condescending, superior, or disdainful manner towards others because they think they are so good and so great that they really don't care. And so they're arrogant towards others.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, I guess the arrogance is a little high characteristic with narcissism.
So that's our intro into narcissism, and those are the list of behaviors that are in DSM-5, where if there are five or more that are persistent and cause distress and ongoing problems, you could be, or the person we're all thinking about might be, a narcissist. When we come back, we'll talk more about narcissism.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate, your ultimate show in relationships, the best out there ever, with ever. Lizette.
We are the best.
With Lizette.
And me.
That was a grandiose opening.
Okay.
Speaking of grandiosity, the first trait, let's get some examples of what that could be in behavior. So the definition we talked about, exaggerated self, sense of self-importance. An example, a person regularly tells their spouse they're the most exceptional person they'll ever meet and that leaving them would be a huge mistake. You'll never, ever find someone like me again.
You always say that.
Oh, shh. My gosh.
What is this? So you are grandiosity, man?
Grandiosity. Let's see what's... How about the preoccupation with fantasies? Mm-hmm. For example, on social media, someone constantly posts about their inevitability to become a future celebrity, harshly criticizing anyone who doubts them. Okay.
I have a couple of friends. They believe he's a celebrity. And they use a lot of filters.
Yeah, always posting.
Go to any show.
They've got 20,000 fans.
Exactly.
And they're all,
maybe
they're all made up fans. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've seen my filters, I guess, huh? So that would be one. Let's see what we else have on this one. We have need for admiration. Example, a person demands their partner constantly praise them and becomes verbally abusive if their partner doesn't show enough admiration. You see what I'm trying to say there? Does it make sense?
No.
What's next on here? We have sense of entitlement. A partner insists on controlling all aspects of the relationship, expecting their needs to come first and disregarding any opinions to the contrary. So this afternoon we're going to go to the farm, then we're going to go here, and we're going to go there. What would you like to do? Oh, it doesn't matter.
I want to stay home. No.
No. We can do that next weekend. Why do you want to stay home? That's silly. All right, let's continue on with that. Exploitation of others. Example, a person pressures their partner into giving up their savings for the person's goals, showing no concern for their partner's financial well-being. And I heard this. I heard that somebody helped put their partner through medical school. And then when the person finally graduated with their medical degree, they said, I don't want to be with you anymore. So they exploited their partner.
Yeah.
And the person really put a lot of effort into their own career to support the other person without any return of that support.
That just looks like the theory of communism, you know, that you know, educate the society because become opposition.
Oh, that's how it works. don't become a doctor.
Yeah, not become a doctor because you open your eyes and you separate.
So let's talk about lack of empathy. A person callously dismisses their partner's struggles, saying they're weak and need to toughen up, turning the conversation to their own issues. If you ever talk to somebody and you're talking to them about, hey, you know, I have this situation and this problem, and then by the time you're done with the conversation, it's about them and their dog who has arthritis?
And also that is a typical out observation, and many people doing is that, oh, you know what, I have a pain here. You say, oh, you know what, I have a pain here. And and then my history is gone because you start to talk your history. So, yes.
So some is commiserating, right? When you share a similar situation and you can show your empathy that of this. But when you move it from the focus on them to the focus on you, and then you don't give it back, I think is the point, is shift of focus.
Yes.
Onto yourself. What else do we have here? We have envy or belief others are envious. For example, a person accuses their partner of being envious whenever their partner challenges them or expresses discomfort with their behavior.
Okay, what is the example?
I know, you say you don't like how I dance, and I say it's because you're envious of me.
No, I admire you.
You admire me.
Now if I admire.
Beautiful. Arrogant or haughty behaviors. A person openly insults and belittles waitstaff in front of their friends, asserting that people in service jobs are losers. in essence, that's a great way, like when you're on a date with somebody, you see how they treat other people, especially people who are at different, whatever you call them, statuses, maybe mm-hmm. social statuses, or just people you don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen people who will treat, you know, their boss amazingly well, and then as soon as the boss is away, they're talking down to their coworkers.
Yeah.
You know, they treat their coworkers like they're jerks, and then their boss is there, yes sir, yes ma'am, oh I can do that right away, but then when their coworkers are like, nah, I'm not helping you, and then you see that, and you see that change in behavior. Mm-hmm. When somebody is equally across the board nice to people, that's, I believe, the like anti-narcissist is somebody who's just equally nice to people. It doesn't matter their station in life, maybe it's not status but station, you know, if they're somebody who a pastor of a church, or they're a police officer or a post person, or they're the person who's helping you move some fertilizer at a store, or whatever they are. If you're treating everybody that like they're just people, yeah. That I think is anti-narcissist.
Yeah.
Unless you're just trying to use them to get something done, exploiting them, right? So that's the other thing. And then some typical behaviors of narcissists, we can talk about that. How about when they try to isolate you, or they have rage against you, you just see them in rage, or they're shaming or gaslighting you. You accuse them of something and then they gaslight you beyond, right? So I believe that's like someone says, hey, did that woman just text you? And the response of your partner is, why are you reading my phone? What are you doing this way? And it becomes you who's the problem. It has nothing, like the actual problem is no longer the problem. The focus has moved on to something else.
So it's manipulate the situation, yeah.
You know, I hide your
because
keys.
Because these people are so smart.
I hide your keys on you because I don't want you to go somewhere. And then I accuse you of losing your own keys.
Mm-hmm.
Oops. Mm-hmm. I can't do that anymore. So, for example, a person isolates their partner from friends and family, becoming explosively angry if the partner tries to reconnect with them. You know, am I not good enough for you? Why do you need to connect with them? You know, they're a bunch of losers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are telling you to do things wrong. They're not for you. And then they actually start telling stories about your family and how they're trying to harm you.
Yeah. And the people, the other person is picking at these and go deep in the ground. Yeah.
How about cognitive distortions? They're superior. They blame others. They justify actions. A person justifies financially exploiting their partner, claiming that their partner is lucky to be able to support someone so special. You know, so I'm going to go on some more acting auditions. I'm not working, though, because eventually I'm going to be a superstar actor. And you're lucky you get to support me because I am going to be so famous. It's not going to happen with Lizette. She's out of here. How about social media and narcissism? That was where
the interesting point in this show.
So we wanted to get to this slide. So this next slide is actually the major point of this show, or one of them, which has to do with, is social media an amplification, a moderator of narcissism? We talked many shows ago about epigenetic changes, where things that go on in your life can trigger gene expression. Do you have a potential trait for narcissism? And now social media triggers that trait because you have access to filters. You have access to all these people who do thumbs up. You have access to unfriending people who don't support you and getting into groups of people who do support you, no matter what your thoughts or belief system are.
Mm-hmm.
So do we create... Now, can narcissists, rather than being a narcissist person, can they be a narcissist group?
Mm-hmm.
Can you have a group of people who think they're better than everyone else?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. What do you think? Is that true?
Create a union.
So let's take a look at this. Influencers harshly attacking followers who criticize them, claiming that only jealous people would ever question them. Okay. So it can amplify a trait like self-focus and constant validation, because now you have access to all these thousands of followers, right?
And also, I see when the people always is in the attack mood, you know?
Sure.
And then everything you put, this is yellow, why is yellow? If it's blue, what is blue? So what is orange? So it's something like that you need to go to create a positive or joking or attack. So if you are not strong to running this kind the social media, you can be destroyed.
You can. Now, I believe also there are two things that sometimes people pay for fake followers, right? Mm-hmm. Or pay for people to, like when I post, 20 people automatically put things on my post. Now, I don't understand this service yet, but I've seen it where you get either 20 people who immediately attack what you just posted to start arguments so your post gets more visibility.
Exactly. That's the idea.
And the opposite is you also have 50 people who automatically love everything you put to make other people who follow you think, wow, this person's fantastic. Yeah. It's like the Beatles, how they supposedly paid screamers at their concerts. The Beatles was a group from London many years ago. Some of you might have heard of them, right? The Beatles. But a music group would have people who would get in the front row, clap and scream the whole show in order for the rest of the audience to say, wow, they must be amazing. And so I believe this also happens on social media. There are people who are paid to, quote, follow and post supportive comments.
Yeah.
So it builds, it's a self-fulfilling narcissist dream in this way. What else do we got on filters and technology? Filters create idealized self-images. For example, a person obsessively edits their photos to look flawless, attacking anyone who suggests their appearance is altered. I know people that I kind of forget what they actually look like because the last time I saw them was maybe 3 years ago. And every time I see a photo or a video, it's like you start thinking this is who they are. And then you'll see maybe an unedited photo and go, oh, that's how they, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, oh, that's how they, but the point is that the social media creates an image and you start living vicariously through your false image. Are you creating maybe your image only, maybe your social presence is narcissistic, where in real life you're not. Like when you are in the media, you're acting like a narcissist. So can you be a social media narcissist, but humanly be okay? You know, someone was telling a story the other day about an older gentleman playing like one of these online war games. And he was, you know, he was part of this group and there was this little leader and the leader was just like talking down to everybody in the group. And, you know, he's this like 40-year-old guy listening to this leader. And then he finds out this leader's like 13 years old. And the guy is just, the kid is just talking down to everyone. But what happens is it's a live event. And while the kid's talking, all of a sudden you hear this woman's voice in the background go, it's time to do your homework. And the kid's like, oh, just a few more minutes. And anyway, the interplay is that the kid in talking to his mom is so polite and so like asking for an additional time. And the mom's like, okay, 5 more minutes. And then the kid gets back on. There's more to the story, but when the kid gets back on, he just starts treating everyone like garbage again. Yeah. And it's like, that's his personality in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Is that training for when he gets older? That's how he's going to act?
And also at this point, he understand the mother is the person defeating you or you cannot be messed up because it's your real life. But you start to grow some kind of monster in your fantasy life that maybe can impact in your personality in the future when you are.
Right. And if you're getting adult. If you're getting success in these fantasy roles by being a narcissist, then do you train yourself, you know, and trigger things within yourself to become one in real life?
And then start to create some kind of satisfaction because that is the other point. I read in some book that say sometimes this is not something that you born, it's you create.
Mm.
And then your body feels satisfaction when you do this kind of stuff, you feel power. and the power to control many people. So, and then I have to, your brain said you have to repeat because this is so good. Sure. good feeling, and then you become something that you original.
Especially weapon. If you're in tournament where you're fighting with a whole bunch of people, yeah. and you've got a team, and by doing what you do, you win.
Mm-hmm.
And you win, and you're like satisfied that I did the right thing because we won, so now you do the same thing, right?
You figured out 13 years old or 10 years old, whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. Let's see what else we have here. How about the psychological impact of social media? When you have the increase in self-focus and comparison and a decrease in empathy, for example, a person devalues their partner for having fewer social media followers, insisting this means they are clearly inferior. Well, how many followers do you have?
Mm-hmm.
300. I have 307.
Wow.
Yeah. So much more.
You are more powerful.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. More powerful. So I can get that. How about social media as an epigenetic trigger?
Really?
Well, let's look at it. Is it a potential to influence on personality traits over time? A person who over time begins to expect excessive admiration and attention offline, mirroring the validation they seek on social media. So basically, it just is a reinforcement of what we just said.
Yeah,
you're online, you're getting a certain sort of admiration and validation from how you act online, and now that comes into your personality offline. Because our brains are constantly growing, and they grow in the direction that we think, that we act.
Yeah.
That we reinforce. So if you're reinforcing actions that are maybe socially irresponsible when you're in person with somebody, but you're reinforcing them in social media, you are still building that part of your brain, and you're going to slowly slip into that part of your brain in reality.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, of course, you have multi-personalities.
The key point, if you see in social media, is tone up, tone down.
Mm.
And then you remember the tone down is
eliminated. They get rid of it. No thumb down anymore.
So everything has to be?
Yep. That or no answer.
Or no answer. So that is something also impact the personality.
But I think they did that because there was too much anger online.
But it's a tool. You know what I mean? It's something why you put so powerful some many people opinion and then create more validation because the human need validation.
Humans need validation. What else do we have here? Oh, so you want to talk about a study? When we come back, we'll actually talk about a study or two on narcissism and what that does. Not what it does, but what part our brain plays in narcissism. Or maybe our narcissism plays in changing our brain structure. When we come back on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about narcissism, the art of narcissism. Whether it is a act or it is somebody who doesn't actually know what they're doing and they just are that way. And they are getting what they expect from being that way. And that reinforces their actions.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about a study. So I want to look at research on narcissism and brain activity. And is there actually something in a brain of a narcissist going on differently than somebody who isn't? So this study used EEG, the electrocardiogram, to look at monitoring the person's brain. They put little discs all over the person's skull, you know, little metal discs with wires,
mm-hmm.
put that into a computer, and they monitored brain activity in the different areas of the brain when they put them through a series of images and thoughts and how they react to different things. And they saw when they were acting in certain ways and certain behaviors that were narcissistic, and they were mapping then the parts of the brain that were active, inactive, more active, less active, than somebody who had a normal non-narcissistic response to that same stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
And what they learned, that brain imaging of individuals high in entitlement shows reduced empathy-related brain activity, reinforcing exploitative behaviors. So the part of your brain that would be related to when you have empathy was less active. So because you didn't have as much empathy, you could become more exploitive. You know, not only it could have been that the person was born that way, it could have been that that developed further and further over time by shutting down that area of the brain and that activity and moving it and shifting to other areas of the brain. So if some areas of the brain are less active when people are narcissists, mm-hmm. are there other areas that are more active? Let's continue on with the study. Here is, we talked about grandiose exhibitionism. There's a reduced activation in the dorsomedial prefrontal cortex. For example, a celebrity who constantly flaunts wealth, openly stating that people who aren't wealthy are lazy. This is somebody who's grandiose. Their dorsomedial prefrontal cortex has less activation. And if you think about the prefrontal cortex, you know, that's a lot of where your conscious thought is going. And so there's a part of it that's less functioning in somebody who's exhibiting grandiose behavior. So chemically and psychologically showing.
That's evidence.
Here we got some more. How about the entitlement, exploitiveness, and leadership authority? Again, reduced in the right lateral prefrontal cortex activity, increased left anterior temporal cortex activation. Example, high profile executive justifying unethical practices, claiming they're too important to be bound by standard rules. That is entitlement and leadership authority combined together. Let's see if I have a little bit more explanation on what we're talking about here. Okay, the left anterior temporal cortex main functions are social and emotional processing. The left anterior temporal cortex is involved in understanding social concepts such as relationships, empathy, and recognizing emotions in others. It helps people grasp complex social norms and behaviors, guiding how they interact with others. Conceptual knowledge and memory is part of that as well. It supports our ability to understand abstract concepts and knowledge about the world. This includes knowing facts, understanding language, and linking past experiences with current beliefs. The point being, this part of the brain that's really important for social and emotional processing, conceptual knowledge, and memory is not acting the same in somebody with high narcissistic behavior as somebody without.
Okay.
So brain differences. Again, could be born, could be taught, could be learnt. So we break it into those three. You're born with some problem in the brain that causes this disorder, or these behavioral traits that are not average. You're taught them when you're young by feedback loops, how things work and don't work for you. And then learned is actually what you go after, what you go to achieve, your feedback that you're desiring, and the more you do a certain behavior and the more you get the results that you want through it, you start shutting down certain areas of your brain, start building other areas. And that's that. Let's see what else we have here. Did we change it? There's some more stuff with that part of the brain, the left anterior temporal cortex, moral and ethical reasoning, as well as personal identity and belief systems are impacted by that same area. So those are four areas of that area of the brain that all have to do with narcissistic behavior. So it's all in the brain. So the point, I guess, what we wanted to talk about in this is that narcissists can be born, they can be taught, trained, or learned, self-born almost, based upon where they grow up, their environment, and also their self-determination as they get older. There's a inability for a narcissist to actually, well, one is be aware of their own behavior.
That's the critical point.
And care about the impact. Even if they saw what they're doing, they have if they see somebody impacted but there's no empathy, they don't see or feel a result of their behavior. So there's no feedback loop for them, right? It's just they have behavior without consequence. because they don't observe the consequence. They don't feel the consequence.
Yeah.
So we talked early on in the show about the therapy most likely used in accordance with narcissistic behavioral or personality disorder.
Mm-hmm.
The therapy most normally associated with it is for people who have been impacted by the narcissist, not the narcissist. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Let's see if we can get into that very quickly. How about, I'm going to miss that. Oh, here we go. There we go. That's the perfect spot. Ready for this? This, I love this. Why NPD? Why narcissistic personality disorder diagnosis is rare? There's a stigma around narcissism with underdiagnosis. That's the result. Example, many attend therapy to appease a partner or others they manipulate, not for genuine self-improvement. Okay, let's go into that. The therapist dealing with somebody who is now seeking therapy because they're kind of being forced to do it to appease their partner. I think you have a problem, you need to see a therapist. Okay, I'll go see a therapist, fine. Now they're seeing a therapist. They're only doing it to appease their partner. They really don't think they have anything wrong with them because they're a narcissist. And the person who's doing the therapy doesn't want to put a label on them that they're a narcissist. Because one of the stigma being, well, if I call them a narcissist, everyone thinks a narcissist is so bad. I don't want to do that. And then I label them. So they don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, the narcissist is like, let me see if I can manipulate the therapist to say, there's nothing wrong with me. It's my partner. Yeah. So I start telling lies. I start changing the stories to make me look good and them look bad. And have the therapist agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
So again, the narcissist doesn't actually want to have any objective self-observation.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want the therapy. And so the people who go to therapy are people seeking help who tend to be the victims of the narcissist.
Yeah.
So what can we do about that, right? Let's look about how social media, we talked about this again. I don't even want to get into this, but as social media amplifies, exacerbates the narcissist. It's a bigger platform, bigger setting for them to expose themselves to more people and to do the things that feed their lust for admiration and to shun those people and talk nasty to those people who don't agree with them. The other thing that I've seen is like on social media, if you were discussing something with somebody, as soon as you see somebody who likes to argue and it impacts you, like for me, I don't like arguing. And so as I start an argument with somebody, I'm impacted pretty quickly. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to stop. I'm not going to do it. And I'm going to delete what I just said. Whereas sometimes you see somebody else and they'll just keep going at it and going and at it and going at it. And like, do they like the argument or do they just like, does it just not bother them?
If people are alone, I don't have nothing to do because I'll never be in any conversation.
I can get an argument going.
Yeah.
So, again, social media has people go to extreme lengths to gain attention and also reinforce self-centered needs. How do we reduce narcissistic behavior? So what we can do maybe for someone who only has narcissistic behavior but not narcissistic personality disorder is we can encourage empathy, self-awareness, and reflection. Regular gratitude practices to promote focus on others' needs and encourage humility. So let's say we feel that we have some tendencies and we feel like, you know what, maybe I am doing some of these behaviors, I want to get better.
Hmm.
Well, you're probably not a narcissist, but you probably have a couple of narcissistic tendencies, like we all do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the ideas, is that you can encourage yourself to show more empathy, right?
Yeah.
Self-awareness, self-observation, and reflection. But not reflection in water.
Look how beautiful I am.
Oh, look at the mirror. Look how great I am. No, reflection on behavior and impact.
Yeah.
showing empathy. So the gratitude of being thankful to others, is a big plus, and it actually destroys narcissism in yourself, and it helps reduce the narcissistic tendencies or behaviors that maybe are natural, especially that are being encouraged by social media.
Mm-hmm.
In conclusion, narcissism is complex. Social media plays a role in amplifying these traits. Reflecting on whether social media impacts self-perception positively or negatively, and how it influences personal values, helps maybe analyze its role and impact in narcissism. And maybe by looking at it objectively like that, you can help reduce your movement towards narcissistic behaviors.
Also, evaluate how many hours you are in this training in social media. Check your phone and figure out how many is for evaluate your values or family or any other. A good book, read a good book versus stay in social media.
So again, if you're not a narcissist now, don't become one. And if you are a narcissist now,
if you are, you maybe don't know, because
you don't know.
You know, identify. But somebody sees somebody, have opportunity to recognize.
Thank you for listening to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
We'll be back next week.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.